Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
Oh, it's Wednesday night, and you know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening, and you can join the show, as always, on the Ceasefire text line, 601-879-4395. Rhino is down there in Studio X. He is the... If this show was Big Klanga, and somebody really big and strong started pulling on it, trying to ring Big Klanga, Rhino is the bolts that are holding the show to the ground. So we're not going to topple over, unlike some things here in Starkville. So, appreciate that. Thanks you guys again for joining me here. We are brought to you by the good folks at the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Visit Vicksburg. VisitVicksburg.com is the website. We'll be telling you about some of the great stuff going on in my hometown of Vicksburg, Mississippi. In my other hometown here in Starkville. So Richard said I was going to be super positive. So he sort of backed me into a corner. I don't really want to talk about basketball for the next hour. So we'll just have to make Richard a liar. Sorry to do that to you, Cross, but it's the way it's got to be. Guys, I think I tried to be as honest with my assessment of this football team throughout the offseason as I could, and that I knew that this year would be a struggle, that I knew that everything that State got they would have to work for, but I felt confident enough in Lebby's ability to put together a top-notch offense that they could overcome some of those flaws, of which there were many, and be a competitive team in the SEC this year. And I fear that I have vastly overestimated that man's ability. Now, that's not to say that he's not a good coach, and he may very well turn out to be one, but maybe I vastly underestimated State's flaws. One way or the other, I think we can all agree that after what we saw this past Saturday in Davis-Wade Stadium, that this team is not very good. We'll keep it like that. We'll keep it short, simple, and to the point. We'll Bo Nix that thing. What happened on Saturday night? They lost. The details of which are irrelevant and inconsequential. It's simply they lost, and they're 1-2, and that's it. And, you know, I guess we'll go with the Belichick route as well. We're moving on to Florida. We're on to Florida here on Thunder and Lightning. And Mississippi State on to Florida. We asked Jeff Lebby about that on Monday, and I thought his response, which I talked about on today's Thunder and Lightning podcast, I thought it was very good. And it's one of those responses. It sounds kind of coach speaky when you say, oh, we don't worry about outside noise. We don't worry about this side or the other. But when he says, our focus is 100% on Mississippi State, that's darn well where your focus needs to be if you're Jeff Lebby. Because you got a mountain of problems to try to solve. You've got problems on both sides of the ball. You can't move the football and you can't stop anybody. Now, I only played football at the 1A high school level. And I didn't play a single down ever after high school. So in my limited, I've watched a lot of games on television, though. Attended a few as well. In my limited knowledge of the sport of football, can't move the ball and can't stop anybody is not a combination that leads to victory. But that's kind of where Mississippi State has been these past couple of weeks. Let's go. Bounce back this Saturday with a W. I'm just saying faithful here. You know what? State needs more of that, man. They need some faith. They need some hope. The good news is that this Florida team is awful. They are really bad. And, you know, not to toot my own horn, but that's kind of what I thought was going to happen this offseason. I don't like Billy Napier as a coach, and sometimes when a program is just on the way down, no amount of talent could save it. Florida's a super talented team. They got 4- and 5-star kids all over the field. But when the coach isn't right, the program isn't right, the culture isn't right, this is what you get. And I, you know, going back in August, thought, man, this is going to be great. Mississippi State's going to win those first three games. Big crowd for that first SEC home game against a reeling 1-2 Florida team. And they're gonna be 4-0 and have the whole season in front of them to get to bowl eligibility. And who knows, maybe they can get some momentum and pull off an upset. And it could be a better year than even I thought. And instead, you know, I got part of that right. I got the Florida part of it right. Mississippi State now sits at 1-2. They were embarrassed Saturday night. That's the only word you can use. Well, I mean, I guess you could use other words. You could use synonyms for embarrassment, like humiliated. I don't know any other. Off the top of my head, I don't know any other synonyms for embarrassed. What can we go with here? What do we got here? Those are not good. They were shamed. Ooh, that's tough. I don't know. These are all like embarrassed, as in, you know, I feel embarrassed, not I was embarrassed. I don't know. The Roger's thesaurus didn't come through for us today, guys. Isn't that who did the thesaurus? Roger, Webster's dictionary, and Roger's thesaurus. I seem to recall. Mississippi State has a massive task on its hands. Jeff Lebby has a massive task on his hands over not only the next, you know, 9 weeks of the football season, but into December with the signing period and the transfer portal. Because at this time, you don't have enough players that can play at this level to convince me that you're going to be competitive in any remaining game. Guys, UMass hung with Toledo through in their game a few weeks back. And that's who State's remaining non-conference game is. So I'm not about to just put W in permanent ink on the calendar next to that one. Because again, if you can't move the football and you can't stop anybody from moving the football, how are you going to win? It's really disconcerting. Disconcerting. I'll get there eventually. To see a Mississippi State team get pushed around on its own home field the way it did. Now, I've seen it before, but the team on the other sideline was Alabama or Georgia or maybe a really good LSU team. Not Toledo. No offense to Toledo. Good program up there in the MAC. Jason Candle's an outstanding head coach. I'm surprised he's still there. I thought he might have moved on to bigger and better things at some point. I can't believe nobody's ever hired him. But I say it all the time, you know, nobody predicts upsets. That's why they're upsets. No, nobody sits there and tells you on Friday, yeah, Toledo's going to win. You know, you might make a bet and hope and think they could, you know, do it, you know, hopeful. But nobody just comes out and says that. That's why they're upsets. State got run up and down its own field Saturday night. It literally would not have looked that much different if Alabama had played Mississippi State. Maybe it would have been worse, but Toledo eased up at the end. There's no question about that. State's got to bounce back. They got to do it quickly. They don't have any time to wallow in their own self-misery. They have to fix things. They have to fix them now to salvage whatever's left of this season. Because after this week, you're going to play the number one team in the nation. And then the week, 2 weeks after that, you're going to play the number two team in the nation. And then a couple weeks after that, you're going to play the number five team or six team in the nation. And then the number seven team. And then the number five team. And you got to play the number 25 team in the middle of all that. Oh, you got another conference game against a much-improved Arkansas team. There's no time for pity parties. You got to fix it, and you got to fix it now. I don't know if they can. I don't know. So what does State need to do? What do they need to do to get better? We'll see. Dismantled. Very good. Can't say that one. The Hell's Bells intro with Jack Crystal made me feel okay for about 30 seconds. Thanks for the effort. Man, I try.
I try.
Is Napier fired if State wins? Yes. I'll just say yes. Well, I have more about that in just a moment, though, because we're going to talk to my friend Graham Hall from Swamp 24/7. He's going to tell us a little bit more about that particular question. Plus, we'll get into the game a little bit and what he thinks about the Gators and their chances here. Skull Drug. Very good, Greg. Very good. I think I'm going to start donating more to the Bulldog Initiative. Charlie Winfield will take your money, and he will do everything he can to get players to Starkville with it. That sentiment is probably exactly what needs to be said by Mississippi State fans across the nation. I will give more to the Bulldog Initiative because, guys, talent is the only way to dig out of this hole. Got to have better players, top to bottom. When we come back, Graham Hall from Swamp 24/7 will tell us a little bit more about the Florida Gators. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Rhino, we went to break with Barry White. I was like, that's a departure from our normal music. He said, well, your voice. I decided to go all baritone singers today. So appreciate that. The drainage is a real thing today. This is Thunder and Lightning Live. We are brought to you by Visit Vicksburg. Every Wednesday at the Clear Creek Golf Course is the Senior Scramble, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. $20 for pass holders, $30 for non-pass holders, 50 years of age or older. They'll make up the teams there at the course, and if you win, goes on your club credit account. You can win those, spend those winnings on anything at Clear Creek Golf Course there in Vicksburg. Let's go down to my interview with Graham Hall from Swamp 24/7.
Joining us now, Graham Hall. He covers the Florida Gators for Swamp 24/7. And Graham, you and I talked back in the summer when I was going around doing opponent previews. And we both agreed, I think, at that time that this was a pivotal game for both of these teams, that this was going to be a game that determined a lot about the season for these teams. Somehow, in the weeks since then, it has gotten more crucial, more pivotal for both of these sides. Let's start with the really hard question that's going on in Gainesville. If Florida loses this game, do they let Billy Napier go after it?
I think it's a fair question. I think that a lot remains to be seen here. You know, Florida has a bye week after this, and if you're going to transition to an interim head coach, that's the ideal time to do it. Give them, 11 days to prepare with someone new, restore some confidence, let them adjust to their newfound responsibilities. That would make a ton of sense rather than doing it when you got a game 6 days later. I do think that would make a ton of sense. Now, I also think that there's an argument to be made that Florida should maybe not pull the plug just quite yet here. Not saying that necessarily Florida is going to turn it around and go on a, you know, 7-game win streak when you look at the rest of their schedule here. But I do think that from a financial perspective, you're going to pay him whether he's here or not. Who on the coaching staff is well-equipped to lead Florida to being even more competitive? I don't know if there's a name out there considering that Billy Napier is the offensive play caller and he's so heavily involved in so many aspects of that program that you could see Florida's competitive chances decline a little bit. So maybe they try and ride it out a little bit longer. They're not going to be able to hire one of those top head coaches right now in the middle of the season, whether it's a Lane Kiffin, you know, a Dan Lanning, whoever they decide to target out there. Those teams are going to be in the college football playoff conversation, and they're not going to leave their programs in the middle of the year. So you might as well wait it out, continue raising the funds for the buyout, scour what's out there, see how these coaches do, and then keep assessing. But it definitely is going to be even more deafening, the calls for Billy Napier's tenure to end, if Florida goes up there to Starkville this weekend and falls to the Bulldogs.
Another thing we talked about back during the summer was DJ Lagway, Graham Mertz. How does Florida incorporate Lagway into the offense? He's too talented to sit out. I think we made you may have made a Chris Leak, Tim Tebow comparison to that. I thought Lagway was incredibly impressive against Samford. Obviously, the level of competition jumped up last week, but Mertz was okay last week. He's 12 of 15. couldn't throw the ball down the field, though. Is there a scenario here where Lagway just takes over? What's the quarterback situation going to be coming into this game?
I think that Florida's going to be a little bit more flexible with their rotating at the position. I think you're going to see both guys early, and that whoever has more success early on is going to get extended series in that contest. Last week against Texas A&M, you saw Florida be really strict when it came to rotating the quarterbacks. Neither one of those guys got consecutive series. I could see that changing, absolutely. I think the key here is which quarterback gives you the best chance, not at, you know, running the offense effectively, which is something that Billy Napier has reiterated is one of the key components, but who can navigate the issues along the offensive line the best. You look at Lagway's athleticism, his ability to step out, get outside the pocket, use his legs to pick up some chunk yardage outside of the play call. You look at Florida's offensive line, they have not protected very well. Lagway maybe gives you a better chance to create downfield explosive plays even when the pocket collapses. Graham Mertz took a lot of contact last year. He took a lot of contact, obviously, when he got knocked out of that game against Miami. If the pocket continues to be an issue, I could see that being another reason why Lagway gets some extended time here. But I do think that it's quite clear that this is still Graham Mertz's team. He is still the leader within that building, not just as a six-year quarterback. He is the guy that Florida trusts the most to manage the offense, and he's going to be the starter until something happens, until Lagway comes out against SEC competition and absolutely tears it up, which it may be this week, it may be in the weeks ahead. Who knows when it's going to be? It's going to be Graham Mertz who is going to continue to see the field consistently and get the first snap for Florida on offense.
Running the football is going to be key in this game. And Mississippi State has been bad at it this year. Florida has not been great at it this year in their games against power competition. State hasn't been good against it, and they haven't played really power competition. So that's a really scary thought when you look at State's schedule. Is this game just as simple for you as whoever can run the football and stop the run is probably going to win?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it comes down to the line of scrimmage, especially whichever defensive line is able to get penetration in the backfield there. Whoever's able to open up holes in the run game is going to have a really good chance at emerging victorious on Saturday. I do think that Florida, Billy Napier, what he has long done in his coaching career is establish the run, get some balance on offense, and then the passing game opens itself up. But the Gators have had to force a lot of passes when they haven't really desired to do that because they haven't run the ball effectively. Behind Montrell Johnson, you have a stable of underclassmen there along with a JUCO transfer in Jacoby Jackson. Montrell Johnson can be explosive. You saw it against Miami. He had that 71-yard touchdown run, but he hasn't really had a lot of open holes to run between the tackles so far this season. Florida's going to have to find a way, maybe get a little bit creative with their play calling and their scheme to be able to run the football because it's just not working what they've been doing. They're going to keep trying until they absolutely have to give up at running the football, but that is going to be a huge key in this game. Whichever team can run the football is going to give themselves a really good chance of getting that win on Saturday.
On the defensive side, Florida giving up over 300 yards rushing a week ago to Texas A&M. What do they need to do there to adjust?
I mean, set the edge, get pressure in the backfield, scheme better. I think that you look at a lot of the play calling decisions on defense here. This is a team that is not succeeding in cover one, cover three. You look at how they're playing off the ball, when they're choosing to blitz, and the penetration, like I said, that they're getting off the edge. That has just been an issue for Florida, not even just the season, going back last year. You have some guys who have talent at that defensive end, F position, they like to call it there. Tyreek Sapp, Justice Boone coming back. You have a highly touted freshman in LJ McCray. But outside of that Samford game, they have not pressured the quarterback. They didn't get a sack last week against Texas A&M. Again, a mobile quarterback in Marcel Reed. And they've struggled with mobile quarterbacks, like I said, dating back not even just to last season, but really throughout Billy Napier's entire tenure here in Gainesville. They're going to have to find a way to have some success with the pass rush. If they don't affect the quarterback and Chapin has some time in the pocket here, the Gators could certainly be in a difficult situation here against this Mississippi State offense. And that's going to be one of the keys to the game, certainly. You have to get pressure from the front seven, whether it's blitzing with your linebackers as well, taking advantage of the speed that you got at end. If they can't do that, then they're going to have trouble to stop whatever offense is out there, not even just Mississippi State. And you know that there's some talented ones the rest of the way that they're going to have to face.
I feel like both of these teams, to say confidence is low, is probably not an understatement. And I really do feel like if one team can get out on the other one quickly, it's going to be a long day for that other team. I don't see a close game here. I don't know who wins, but I don't think it's going to be a close game. Would you agree with where I'm going there, or do you think either team can keep it close if they fall behind quick?
I think that whatever team falls into an early hole is going to struggle to come back. I do think that for Florida, from a confidence standpoint, they really need to execute on those opening drives, not fall into a double-digit hole like they did against Miami and Texas A&M. Otherwise, you're going to see that morale take another hit for the Gators. I do think that getting some early momentum is going to be key. And if they can't have success with, you know, fans love to say that scripted drive, if you don't have success with the scripted drive, you're really kind of doubting your entire game plan, and you're putting the onus of adjusting on the head coach. And I don't know if Billy Napier has really inspired belief, not just within his team, but in the fan base, that they're going to be able to adjust to what the defense is showing throughout the contest. So getting some early momentum is going to be key. I know that, you know, against Texas A&M, they fell into that 33-7 hole, got some touchdowns there in the second half. So I'm not saying they can't do it necessarily here. And I do think that that second half against the Aggies was critical to the belief a little bit, to not get entirely blown out based on the scoreboard there in Gainesville. But Florida, I think, is going to need to start early. If they fall into an early hole, they could certainly face a double-digit loss up there in Starkville. Same thing, though, I think, with the Bulldogs. If Florida can go out there and have, you know, execute, no matter who is under center, get an early double-digit lead and stop this Mississippi State offense and go into the second half with a double-digit lead, I could easily see this being a three-score game. If not, if both teams are trading scores, given the holes that they have on defense, I do think it could potentially be a close game there in the fourth quarter, and that is going to make things really, really interesting here, because the Gators have not won too many narrow contests. Last year, they won one at South Carolina, but they fell to Arkansas. They blew a chance to beat Missouri last year when they had a 4th-and-17 and gave up a massive game there late in the season. So certainly that is a factor for Florida right now, is making sure that they stay out of a close contest heading into the fourth quarter, because I don't think people are going to be too optimistic that they're going to be able to close it out if that's the case.
Only about 30 seconds left. Every week on the podcast, we do an offensive and defensive playmaker, and then we do an X factor, a guy maybe not the player of the game but could make a big play to swing the game. Who is that guy for Florida?
I think Montrell Johnson, just, you know, he may get 2-3 run yards on every single run, but if he can get a 60-yard gain, a 70-yard gain, and Florida can find a way to score quickly, that's going to be huge. Another one is Eugene Wilson III. You know, he didn't play against Texas A&M. He's their most dynamic wide receiver. What is going to be his status for this contest? He was a game-time decision against the Aggies. We're going to find out on the availability report what his status could be for this contest. He's certainly one. And then Lagway is a pretty obvious one, I think, for Florida. If you can find some success, some explosive plays from your freshman quarterback, that's obviously going to change the game. The Gators don't score quickly very well. If they can do that with Lagway or Johnson and get Eugene Wilson involved, they're going to...
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
People say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 times.
Is it really that deep?
Is it another day older and deeper in debt? St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go.
In the deep, dark hills of eastern Kentucky.
Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Yes, that's me. That's my voice. It is a little deep tonight. We are battling some nasal issues. I don't know what else to tell you on that one. I don't know what's going on here with my email, but my Visit Vicksburg ad reads have gone away. I don't know what's happening. Why is that happening to me? I'd love to tell you all about what's happening in the city of Vicksburg. A lot of great stuff, I'll tell you that. Fantastic places to eat. Some of my favorite restaurants are in the city of Vicksburg. My favorite steakhouses in this entire state is the Beachwood restaurant over there in Vicksburg. That is a place, if you ever go to Vicksburg, that is a must-stop. Must-stop for go get, grab a steak there. And the biggest fried shrimp you'll ever see in your life. I don't even know. I think they may be baby lobsters. They're just fantastic, so... If I can get my email to work again, I might tell you something else that's going on in Vicksburg. But between now and then, this weekend, Mississippi State, Florida, you might ask me, Brian, what is the key for Mississippi State?
Are you kidding me? Run the ball.
Thank you, Coach Key. I appreciate that. Yes, Mississippi State has not been able to run the ball effectively all season long. Florida has had trouble stopping running the ball this season. This offense is not the air raid. It is not designed to be one-dimensional. It is not going to go out there and put up 450 yards passing on a day where it has 25, 30 yards rushing. That's not going to happen. It can have a 450-yard passing day, but that means there's also going to have another 150-plus on the ground. It is designed to have real and true balance in the offense. So if State cannot run the ball, they are not going to win. I'm going to read this text here just because I want to get this out of the way. What is missing? Love for MSU, respect for the men that have worn the uniforms, pride in themselves and their teammates, understanding of the life-changing opportunity that they've been given. Community colleges are all over Mississippi, are full of kids that would play, that would meet 1, 2, 3, and 4. They would give anatomical parts for the opportunity to play at State. Go get them. You just thought losing to Toledo 41-17 was bad, if you follow that particular recruiting philosophy. I don't know why, and it's a Mississippi State thing, too. I never see Ole Miss fans saying, well, we need to go get guys who want to play for the pride of Ole Miss and stop paying these transfers. No, no. They figured it out, guys. You got to get these transfers. It's a bunch of kids who just want to play for Mississippi State. Final score, Texas 87, Mississippi State nothing. That's what that would lead to. I mean, I'm not going to say it's going to be that much better in the coming weeks, but goodness gracious, that is an awful idea. Either get on board with NIL or get on board with losing. Those are your literal only two options. And there's no guarantee that you'll win with NIL, but it is the only chance you have. It is the only chance you have. The idea that, you know, State's going to get a bunch of guys out there that want to play for the love of Mississippi State. I love Mississippi State, but I'm not going to slow down anybody from Texas or Georgia or Alabama or LSU or Ole Miss on the football field. It's just not a thing. It's not a thing in this day and age. It is 2024. It is not 1964. Get with the program. Either. What do they say in Shawshank? Either get busy living or get busy dying. That's the truth. Either get busy NILing or get busy losing. Those are your literal only two options in this day and age of college football. This is how it is. Back to running the ball. Last week, Texas A&M 300 yards rushing. I mean, really impressive. Really impressive game. They basically didn't have to throw. They only threw 17 passes. And I'll be honest with you, with Levy's offense, he would probably rather it be that way. He would probably rather throw between 20 and 25 passes and run the ball 45, 50 times if he can get away with it. But State has not been able to do that. And it's a combination of the offensive line's not opening holes, and the when they are getting a little bit of push, the running backs aren't taking advantage of that. I feel like Devon Booth has been a real disappointment. Expect to see a lot more from him. Didn't really know what I was expecting from Kevon Lee, but I haven't seen much from him. Haven't Johnny Daniels. I thought he was okay. He played pretty well after the game was in hand last week. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him draw the start this week, just because of the way he played in the second half last week. And then State's offensive line has just been a mess. It's just been a mess. They have not come together. They have not gelled. And it just hasn't worked out for them. So I don't know what the answer is on that side of the ball. I don't know what it is. I wish I had an answer, but I don't. And the problem is Jeff Lebby needs to find the answer. Because if State cannot run the football in this game, if they're going to be one-dimensional, they're not going to win. They're not going to win the game. They have to find a way to do it. And it's going to be tough, because I say this all the time about college football. It's not like the NFL. I can't just, you know, Lebby can't say, all right, let's trade him a couple draft choices and a running back, and let's get some linemen in here. It just doesn't work like that. So it's just a question. for Mississippi State. It's a question they need to answer. They have to answer. They have not been able to answer it the first 3 weeks of the season. They weren't effective running the ball even against Eastern Kentucky. Certainly weren't these last 2 weeks. State, if you look at State's running stats, and you take out the outlier of one carry for 41 yards that Creed Whittemore had in game one, then State is averaging just under 3 yards per carry. Think about Mississippi State. Think about the lineage of tailbacks they had from Jackie Sherrill's time on, when you had Michael Davis and Kevin Bowie and Kiefer McGee and then J.J. Johnson and then DeCenzo Miller and then Jarius Norwood and then Anthony Dixon and then Vic Ballard and Ladarius Perkins and do I need to keep going? Josh Robinson and so on and so forth. Aris Williams, Kylan Hill, I can keep going. And now you're averaging less than 3 yards a carry? That cannot work for this offense. Again, the air raid offense, it could work. You could make it work. But in this offense, you have to have real balance. I think we talked about it last week. You have to have real balance in this offense. You have to be able to run the football and throw the football. Now, I will say this. You could probably get away with not throwing the football if the running game was going. But this offense is based on one thing: running the football, making teams load the box, spreading their defensive backs out as far as they can, and then getting some one-on-ones and getting some wide-open guys because teams are so scared of how much you're running the football. If you can't run the football in the Jeff Lebby offense, you can't win. Mississippi State, I don't know what to tell them. They got to figure that out this week. Florida against Miami and against Texas A&M gave up rushing yards. They need to be able, if State can't get rushing yards out of Florida this week, well, then it's going to be a long day for Mississippi State. And the same thing goes on the other side of the ball. State has got to be able to stop the run better as well. The ground game is what is going to decide this game between Mississippi State and Florida. Two teams that have struggled running the ball and have struggled stopping the run. Somebody is going to have to run the ball and stop the run, and that team is going to win. Simple as that. Something's got to give on Saturday. I don't know who it's going to be. I don't know what it's going to be. It's just going to be. Because the team that can run the ball, it's going to open everything else up for them. And I'm interested to see what Florida does with the quarterback situation. We heard what Graham had to say about that just a few minutes ago. I would have already made the switch to Lagway if I was Billy Napier. I would just put everything into the freshman's hands and say, you're the more talented guy. Do what you can. Lead us. Lead us to victory. Take your lumps this year because you're going to be a superstar next year. So if State can bottle up Florida's running game, that, you know, that takes away one of Lagway's weapons, and then maybe they have to go to Mertz in the passing game, and I don't think Mertz can beat too many teams in the passing game. This game, the storylines around this game for between two teams that aren't good are very interesting. There's a lot to talk about there. So, both of Mississippi State's offensive and defensive lines have been owned this season. You are correct, Ben. They have been dominated on both sides of the line of scrimmage, and that's why they're 1-2. Simple as that. So, we'll wrap it up when we come back. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. Using you to fall back down again.
On Super Talk Mississippi.
All right, let's wrap it up here on a Wednesday evening. Thunder and Lightning. Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino has once again steered the ship to nearly a complete halt. And I appreciate him for that. I also appreciate the baritone music tonight. Who was somebody we could have thrown in there? Did we leave anybody? We could have put some Elvis in there. I mean, that's
his. Could have had some Elvis. Yeah. I was tempted to use Rick Astley.
Wise men say. I can. My Elvis is actually not as good when my voice is like this. Like my normal voice is a little bit better. So, Rick Astley.
Oh yeah.
Is that a baritone?
Oh yeah.
Never gonna. I guess it is. Yeah. I guess it is. Never gonna let you down.
You would never expect it looking at him, but yeah.
Well, I mean, just when you think about that song, you don't think baritone, you know. But it is, I guess, when you really, really listen to it. Wow, that's a good one there. So, if I continue to get sick, let's say I feel worse next week, Rhino, you may have to get like some screaming death metals. I'll sound like this. So, you know, some Gojira, some Tesseract, maybe. I don't know. Something like that. Let's see here. September 21st and 22nd. So, this weekend, the Veterans Golfers Association will be hosting two stroke play tournaments. One on Saturday, the 21st at Clear Creek. Over there on Tiffintown Road. I've never realized that Clear Creek was on Tiffintown Road. I just was like, you just go out to Clear Creek, and that's where it is. They're open to anyone that served in the military and the immediate family members of individuals who served in the military. The only cost is the $45 green fee at each course. Oh, I'm sorry. Sunday's tournament is at the Country Club, the Vicksburg Country Club. So the 21st at Clear Creek and the 22nd at the Vicksburg Country Club. For our veterans to have a round of golf, only a $45 green fee. For more information, call Daniel Evans at 251-382-9759. Now, we just Rickrolled Scott from Louisville. It happens. The Rickroll was like one of the greatest things ever, and it got overplayed, but I wish somebody would throw it back in every now and then. We need the occasional Rickroll is worth your time, in my opinion. It's funny when executed properly. The Mets did one maybe a year ago that was just outstanding. So this week, some Jim Nabors. That would have been a good one. Could have got some Jim Nabors. That would have been some. He had a deep, which is so funny, right? Because yeah, you had his TV voice, you know, surprise, surprise, surprise. But then his singing voice was, you know, Amazing Grace. So, that's a good choice. Good call. Jim Nabors. What do I think is going to happen Saturday? I guess we'll talk about that. I got a bad feeling, guys. All of the optimism that I had coming into the season has been shaken out of me. I don't have any left to give. And I've said all week, I think, whoever gets out to an early lead in this game is going to run away with it, and I think that's going to be Florida. I just don't have any faith in Mississippi State right now. Florida has more talent than Mississippi State. I think State is better coached, and I know you might shake your head at that, but Napier, it's just not working, and I don't think he has his – I think his locker room has gotten away from him, but I think they might just show up for this one because they feel like they can win, right? Yeah, I don't think against Miami and Texas A&M, Florida really thought they could win, but they think they can win this one. And I don't think State thinks they can win, and I don't think State has the talent to win. So, not great. Not great. Playmaker? Shapen? Yeah. Daniels? I mean, I don't even know. I don't know where to begin with this team. I don't know. This team has flustered my ability to make predictions because they just don't look like an SEC team when they play football, the way they get pushed around the field on both sides of the ball. So, final score, Florida 35, Mississippi State 17, something like that. I just don't see it happening for the Bulldogs. I just don't. Jeremy in Columbia. Same here, hey Dad. I've lost all faith in State. They may win one more game. It's terrible. It's not fun. It you know, when you wait all offseason for college football, when you wait from January to August for college football, and then 3 weeks into the season you get gut punched. It hurts. It hurts, and I get it. I get it. If you're coming to Starkville this weekend, appreciate your loyalty and bravery, my friends. If you're not, you're not going to get anybody. I'm not going to chide you. I understand. It's expensive to make these trips. I get it. So, all right, guys. Want you to have a great Wednesday night. Want you to be back with us Thursday for Sports Talk Mississippi. Thunder and Lightning podcast available to you tomorrow. Also on the Friday podcast feed, an interview I'm doing with Omar Connor, former MSU quarterback. We're going to talk about that 2004 Florida game where State upset the Gators. Ron Zook got croomed that day. We'll talk about that. That should be a fun conversation. I'm looking forward to talking to Omar this week. Have a good one, guys. For Rhino, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.